We're going to do, hopefully, the next to the last lesson in Gospel Misunderstandings. And I do plan to add a short addendum at the end covering the three or four verses that are taken and misread and misunderstood, thinking that they say that all the Gentiles got the message of how to be saved early on in Acts 9 and then on from then on, when that's not what those verses say. And we'll show what they do say as confirmed and cross-referenced in Scripture. But tonight, we're going to just start with a brief overview, review, I guess, of what we've been talking about, the Gospel of God, and how God titled that differently than the Gospel of Christ for a reason, that they're different. And we talked about where Paul preached the Gospel of God. Paul, he would preach it before he would preach the Gospel of the uncircumcision. And Peter would preach the Gospel of God before he would preach the Gospel of the circumcision to those to whom that was sent. And we went, by the way, all these references, the various places where those are preached, where those Gospels are preached, they're in the text version, which I finally finished. I guess it's finished. Did the final edit today and posted it. That's the first posting. Let me just post the web address here. And the top one, the one with the extension DOCX, is the only one that's the recent one. I hope over this weekend to get it converted into at least RTF and PDF versions. But let's go on. And we've talked about how the gospel was the preliminary, the Gospel of God was preliminary to the gospel of salvation. He would tell them the Gospel of God tells who Jesus is. It's his qualifications. He's the Son of God. He's the Anointed One, the Messiah, and he rose from the dead. He's got the power. He's got the forgiveness for us. And the what followed, I mean, Paul would preach that first, and then about salvation after they had believed who Jesus is. He would preach that Christ died for their sins, and by believing that Christ died for their sins, that their sins are died for, in other words, they have salvation. They have eternal life. They've been saved. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. How do you receive that gift? By faith, by believing it, that he died for your sins. Well, there's a case in the Bible where the people that Paul went to didn't get to hear the gospel of salvation. They did get to hear the gospel of God, though. Let's review that. That was in Athens, in Acts 17, verses 17 through 18, and then again down in verses Acts 17, verses 31 and 32. It says that they heard the gospel. I don't think it names the name the Gospel of God, but it gives what the Bible includes as parts of the Gospel of God in Romans 1, 1 through 4. It includes those elements in the text, in the context there. But the people, I hope you're never in this situation, the people mocked Paul preaching that about Jesus, who he is, the Gospel of God, and about the resurrection. So Paul, it says, so we're going to read the verse in a minute, but it says, so Paul departed from among them. And that word so indicates that it was because they did not believe the gospel of God, that he did preach to them. The preliminary gospel was all they heard, and they rejected it. They didn't get to hear the gospel of salvation for them. Even though Christ had not yet sent Paul to all men, remember at the end of that account, Dionysius and Damaris, they likely did get to hear the gospel of Christ directly from Paul, because they believed the gospel of God. The gospel of God that they heard in Acts 17, verses 17 and 18. Those facts were that Jesus is the risen Messiah, and it says they clave to Paul. Not that he was sent to them, but that they came after him. They clave to him. Let's read the verses. Acts 17, starting verse 17. And thank you for posting those in the room there. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Who's him there? That's Paul. Meeting with Paul. That's where we get Paul's meeting. The Paul's meetings that got set up with those people that got expelled from the synagogues for believing that Jesus was the Christ. Going on to 18. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." Well, it might have been strange to them, but that's the truth. That's that's the foundation. That's the gospel of God, that Jesus is the Christ and that he has been resurrected so he can resurrect us as believers in him. Look down in Acts 17:31 and 32. "Because he hath appointed," this is Paul talking in the scripture, "because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead." That gives us assurance that the gospel of salvation that he's sent to us, dispensed to us through Paul, works, that it does save us. "And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked." Oh my, really getting on the wrong side of things there, aren't they? "Some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter." Well, that was not a case of Paul initially going to alien Gentiles apart from Israel, that hated Israel and hated God, and preaching salvation, the gospel of salvation to them before he was sent to all men. But rather, instead of that, it says, talking about Dionysius and Damaris, they clave to Paul. And that was before Paul was sent to all men. That's the explanation of how Paul was able to talk to them about salvation, because they came to him. They clave to Paul. Christ's sendings of Paul did just that. They sent him. They did not restrict Paul, but rather they directed him. So let's go on to another misunderstanding here about the house of God. And this has more ramifications than are at first realized, I think. But the house of God is all believers, whether they're part of Israel, part of the body of Christ. Now that everybody's run away. But let me just go through some verses and show you what the Bible says about the house of God, the household. What do those all believers believe, the ones that are in the house of God? Anyone that has believed the gospel of God, that Jesus is the risen Messiah, is part of the house of God. There are them that obey the gospel of God, and there are them that obey not the gospel of God. But look in 1 Peter 4:17. 1 Peter 4:17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Now, Peter's talking to Israel, the 12 tribes scattered, and he's saying that they are the household of God. They believe the gospel of God, and there are some that do not believe the gospel of God. Well, he's not talking about the body of Christ, is he? Because we do too. We believe the gospel of God, that Jesus is the risen Messiah, resurrected Messiah. So it's the other people that are not part of Israel, believing Israel, I should say, little flock type Israel, and that are not part of, let me start that again. It's the house of God is those in Peter's group that he's talking to there that believe the gospel of God, and those in Paul's group, the body of Christ, that believe the gospel of God. And those that are not in the house of God are them, final line of that verse there, 1 Peter 4:17, them that obey not the gospel of God. So do you see the division that Peter makes there? So the house of God is all them that believe the gospel of God. Again, the gospel of God is not a gospel of salvation. It's a foundational gospel about who Jesus is, identifying him as the one that was prophesied throughout the Old Testament. Peter, he would go on from the gospel of God to preach the gospel of the circumcision, as we said. And he would preach it to those being saved through Israel's covenants and covenants of promise and the commandments, through all those regulations, etc. Paul, on the other hand, he would go on from preaching the gospel of God to preach the gospel of the uncircumcision to the heathen, those not being saved through Israel's covenants of promise and commandments. Let's go on to another misunderstanding here. Reinterpreting words to fit our own understanding. That sounds pretty bad already. In the Bible, God said exactly what he meant. It's not our privilege to interchange words or to say that this actually meant that. We can fully rely on God to have kept his word when he said he would inspire his Holy Scriptures, and would preserve his Holy Scriptures through copies and translations. He said that his word would endure forever. And he makes it happen by preserving it. No matter what you think about those verses, he does say in 1 Peter, I think it's 1:25, that his word will endure forever. And that's not a corrupted version of it. That's his word is pure. Every word of God is pure. Proverbs 30, verse 5. If it's become impure, it's not the word of God anymore. All right, another misunderstanding. Let me just go back in the one about reinterpreting words. That's being done by some people to try and discredit what the Bible says about when Paul was sent to all people. So that's why I included that. But again, it's not it's not up to us to change what God said in the Bible to make it fit our understanding and what we think, what we've been told, whether by our parents or our mentors or whatever. we need the Bible is the thing that we should be sizing up our mentors by, not sizing up or changing the Bible to match what our mentors say or our pastors or parents or whatever. Okay, next misunderstanding. This will be number 34. The gospel of Jesus Christ. You probably hear about that sometimes. This is it's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's not a gospel of salvation. It's not a gospel in the way we usually use the term gospel. It's good news, yeah, but it's in the sense it's Mark's account of the life and times of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is good news of all the things that Jesus Christ is recorded to have begun, both to do and to teach on earth, to whom he spoke, who he healed, what he promised to Israel until the day in which he was taken up. And that's the best definition I know of it. When he talks, when Mark talks about the gospel of Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, he doesn't mention anything like what we know of as the gospel of Christ. It's not the gospel of Christ. And it's not the gospel of Jesus. It's what God named it, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's this whole story of the life and times of Jesus Christ. As you read through Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Some people say that we're in trouble if we have to believe every word just as God said it and as it was preserved to us. But actually, we're really in trouble if we don't believe every word of God just as it was preserved by God. And we are privileged to have it. We should respect and honor and be thankful for the privilege that we do have the Word of God. We have the King James Bible today. A couple verses for punctuation. Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. So when you're changing God's words, you're making yourself a liar, if God's word is true. Okay, gospel misunderstanding number 35, maintain purity of the gospels. And that's not, being corrupted, that's being crossed, that line is being crossed. Some people try to connect Paul's eventual apostleship, the one to all people not mentioned until Acts 22 verses 18 and 21, where Paul reviews what happened in the Acts 18 temple vision, where Christ spoke to him and sent him to all men, said he was going to send him to all men, and that sending came in Acts 20. But they try to connect that apostleship with the gospel of God. Romans 1, 1 through 4. The gospel of God is God's good news about Jesus, his son, the risen Messiah. And some people try to discredit what God said about the gospel of God by saying that Romans 1, verses 3 and 4 is a description. It's not a definition. Well, that's really grasping for straws, because it's irrelevant whether it's a description or a definition. The words of Scripture still stand. Everything it says about Jesus and all the times and ways it was used by Paul and by Peter, it's that define it. Those things define its use and its content. Paul wrote Romans 1, verses 1 through 7 as a prologue. an introduction to his epistle to all that be in Rome. And that entire prologue is one sentence without a period until you get to the end of the seventh verse. According to the context, only verses 1 through 4 are the gospel of God. The gospel of God is described or defined in Romans 1, 1 through 4, as that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead, resurrected from the dead. I should say resurrected. Sometimes it says Jesus was risen, which he was. But the more explicit term is resurrected, because there were others. Well, Lazarus was risen, raised from the dead, but he was in the sense of being resuscitated. Eutychus, same thing. He came back to the same kind of body, same kind of life. It wasn't a heavenly body he was resurrected to. Jesus Christ was resurrected. He had his heavenly body when he was resurrected. It's incorrect and misleading to take the gospel of God's good news about the risen Christ and to try to equate that with Christ's apostleship of Paul. They're two different things. Paul received the office of apostleship to all men in the temple vision before he received Christ's actual sending, which was at the beginning of the gospel of the grace of God, according to, you can see that in Acts 20, 24, in Colossians 1, 4-6, Ephesians 3, 1-4, and verse 8, in due time, amen. Titus 1, 2, I believe that is. So let's look at these verses in Romans that we've been talking about that describe or define the gospel of God. Starting with verse 1, the first verse in the epistle of Romans. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And then there's a one verse parenthesis here, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. That's the end of the parenthesis. So you're going back to separate. It refers back to separated unto the gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Let me just remind you, that's the messianic seed. Verse 4, and declared to be be the Son of God with power. There's the sonship. According to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So the resurrection wasn't just something God wanted to do. It was proof to us. It we read earlier, it was assurance that God will do what he said he'll do. And it shows us that Jesus was the one prophesied throughout the Old Testament. He's the one that Israel had been waiting for. Number 36, a gospel misunderstanding, number 36. Why pervert the gospel? Some people slur together the separate meanings of the various gospels, destroying the purity of the scripture. It also betrays their loyalty to their own opinions rather than a loyalty to the scripture. When they try to refute these scriptures about the gospels in the Bible, some people try to lump them together. They lump together some parts of the gospel of Christ information with the gospel of God information, and in so doing, they assign unscriptural meanings to the gospel of God, while at the same time perverting the gospel of Christ. So it's all in this idea of changing what God wrote to make it fit what they understand. It's another incident of that. You can't change the gospel of God. Paul does not add unto the gospel of God its final installment of information. Paul revealed new information for the body of Christ beyond the gospel of God. Peter also revealed new information for Israel beyond the gospel of God. And verses for that, we'll close with this. Acts 2, verses 38 to 41. Acts 3, verses 19 to 26. And then we go into number 19, the final episode, the final part. And we have a minute or two. I guess we could go ahead and read these. Let's look at Acts 2, verses, 38 to 41. Then Peter said unto them, Repent. So this is Peter. This is on the Pentecost day, a Jewish feast day that people, the Jews had to, if they could, the Jewish males had to return to Jerusalem. For this is one of the 3 days a year that they had to be at that feast. And Peter stood up and preached to them and said unto them, Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, right away we see that's different than us. We get forgiveness of sins. They only get remission to a future date when they will be blotted out, but we'll read about that in a minute. They needed to repent or change their mind about who Jesus was, stop rejecting the gospel of God, start receiving it and believing the gospel of God, who Jesus is, his identity, the name of Jesus. That's why it says, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, his identity, believing who he is. And that matches Luke 7:29 and 30 too, that those that believed that Jesus was the Messiah got baptized in Israel's program as a kingdom of priests. Priests had to be washed with water, Exodus 29:1-4. And those that rejected Jesus' teaching and doctrine, not believing that he was the Messiah, they refused to be baptized. So he says, Peter said unto them, Repent. Change your mind, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, don't apply that to us. We're not Israel. We don't get the gift of the Holy Ghost. We have the Holy Spirit within us. Now, it's the same person, but a different function. We do have the Holy Spirit. But that's not, we didn't receive it at this giving. This giving was to Israel. Okay. Going on to verse 39 and then 40 and 41. For the promise is unto you. Well, we Gentiles didn't get a promise like that. Israel did. Those that descended from Jacob and believed God's covenants and commandments, they did get a promise. The promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, in other words, all the descendants of Jacob that are far off, as many as our Lord, the Lord our God, shall call. God was calling them into the little flock, into that kingdom church at that time. Go on to 40, verse 40, Acts 2:40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. And untoward, I understand that to mean they're unguidable. They know it all, you know. They don't want to be coached by God or hear God's word or study it or anything. They know their own way, and they'll, you know, it's not a good thing. Save yourselves from it. Turn around. Stop acting arrogant against God and start receiving his grace, believing that you need his grace and his salvation. So that's what they're saying, what Peter was saying to Israel, that they needed it. This isn't a salvation that's available to us today. That's right, Delta. Okay, that's 40. And finally in this section 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now it says they were added unto them. If you go to verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church. So them, the thousands were added to, was the church, was that kingdom church that Christ said he would build his church in Matthew 16. That's it there. On the day of Pentecost in the temple with all those thousands of people being added to it already being in existence. The Lord added to it such as should be saved. Notice it's not a present tense. They're not saved yet. They have to endure to the end. They have to be faithful during the tribulation, not to take the mark of the beast, not to betray their brothers, fellow Israelites, things like that. All right, let's go on to Acts 3, 19. 19-26. Repent ye therefore. Same thing. They had not believed that Jesus was the Messiah. They need to change their mind and believe that Jesus is the Messiah, risen from the dead. So that word repent there involves accepting the gospel of God, believing it. And repent ye therefore and be converted. Notice that's not talking about converted to Paul's gospel, converted to the body of Christ or anything like that. It's convert means change with change. They're to change from being disbelievers to being in the little flock. Israel's little flock of believing Israel, that remnant, prophetic remnant. And be converted that your sins may be blotted out when? When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus, whom was which before was preached unto you. So they get their sins blotted out when Jesus returns to earth, as it just said there in those two verses. It says that whom, talking about Jesus, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. Had they believed Peter's message then, that would have started, that would have been the restitution of all things. In fact, that's what Peter said, wasn't it, in Acts 2:16. He said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel when he was talking about the tribulation time, that 70th week. It had started, but when Israel rejected it a year later, that became the acceptable year of the Lord, not being taken from the 7 years. So there's still 7 years coming, a week of years, Daniel's 70th week of years. But we were in Acts 3. Let's read 21 again. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So this is spoken truth. This is known, written down, prophesied truth. It's not the mystery truths that were only revealed starting in Acts 9, revealed to Paul, by which Paul was saved and by which we can be saved. And that's the only gospel by which we can be saved. Believe that Christ died for your sins and rose again the third day after being buried. So let's go on to verse 22. 3:22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Well, they didn't, did they? That's the whole thing about the gospel of God. Believing that Jesus was that prophet. The prophesied one. He was, but they would not believe it. So it says, you know, Moses truly said to the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord raise up unto you. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever. So they didn't do it. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet, and he had already ascended back to heaven, they shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. You're the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son, Jesus, sent him to bless you, Israelites, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. So, you can see that's spoken to the children of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, not to us. That's not our salvation. Our salvation is in Romans. If you're unfamiliar, read Romans 1 through 5. Read it several times consecutively. And that's the only place we get true information. It's from the Bible. And that's where our salvation is detailed. I'm done on this lesson. Done for today.